Thank you. Thank you so much for your service, and especially thank you for this opportunity to come to you this morning and talk a little bit about my experiences with this wonderful program. I'd like to start off first by talking a little bit about my life and what brought me to the place I'm at today. I was born into what would be considered by most people a very normal family on the outside appearances, but we had a big family secret. And the secret was that my father was an alcoholic. My mother was extremely bitter because of his alcoholism, and her goal was to change him, and not successfully. And so she was quite miserable. And since she couldn't change him, she set about making sure that we were all as miserable as she was. And so life was very, very, I guess, dysfunctional would be a great word. One of the things that we did enjoy was food. And we had a very large family, and our family would have gatherings. And these gatherings would almost always be focused around a meal or food or a cookout or something such as that. And most of my family members also were alcoholics. And so it was quite a fun time for a young person. You know, you had a lot of partying, a lot of really great people. But there came a time when I got to be a little bit older, I guess prepubescent, that there seemed to be some inappropriate comments that would be made. My uncles and cousins and even, you know, some of the other family members spent a lot of time saying very inappropriate things to us girls about our physical appearance. They'd make all kinds of comments about the way we looked, our breast size, everything about us was critiqued. And it would be funny to them and extremely hurtful to me, especially because I was fairly shy. But I mean, the food was good and there was always plenty of it. And coming from a Southern traditional family, the food was great. Lots of starches, lots of fatty foods, lots of fried foods. I mean, literally, when you're from the South, you season your seasoning meat. That's how extreme you are about your cooking. And in my particular generation, you were supposed to be, as a child, not seen, not heard, just out of the way so the adults could have a good time, what they considered a good time. And so during one of these particular gatherings, we were all playing a game, and a cousin molested me. I started being assaulted. And the way that I was able to deal with that was by being sneaky and fearful. And I would sneak food, because food really was the only relief that I had. When you were eating, everybody seemed happy. There was nothing to hide. There was nothing to be fearful of. I just realized this great relief and this great comfort in food. And so that started my journey on my compulsive food behaviors, I would like to think. And so as I grew older, I never really had a weight problem, because I was extremely active as a youth. I played sports, just really stayed involved with, we played outdoors. There was a lot of things. So there was never really a concern. I never really felt normal because of all the fear and turmoil and chaos going on inside me. But I put on a fairly good front for everyone. Well, as a teenager, I was starting not to have the grip on keeping the weight down. And so I started taking amphetamines. Well, back when I was a teenager, amphetamines were a diet pill. I mean, that's what they were called. They weren't called drugs. And they were accessible. I mean, we had a couple of doctors in town that you just went in and said that you need to lose some weight. They'd write you a prescription. You go about your business. And so I became addicted to them. And I probably was addicted most of my life. If I could get my hands on amphetamines, I would take them, no matter whether it was legal or illegal or however I could. And I was able to keep my weight down, never pleasing, because I never looked at myself as being pleasing. Because I had all this, I had all this disgust in myself inside. And so I went on about my life. I stayed addicted to the drugs. Then I began my life of not being very indecisive. I was married many times. I had children. All of a sudden, I started really blossoming, I guess you'd say, with the weight. And especially after my last child was born. And I would do the drugs sometimes. I would do these really, really strict diets, only to end the diet and go back to normal eating and gain again, because I didn't realize it then, but I wasn't addressing the problem. I've had gastric bypass probably about, it's been about 20 years now, and in the process lost about 200 pounds and felt good about myself when I look in the mirror, but I still always saw what I consider to be fat Pam. I always saw that person. I always saw that little girl who was damaged, that person who had fear, that person who was mocked, who was made fun of, who was hurt by so many things that that I had no control over, but I felt responsible for. After the bypass and after I'd lost all the weight, I just gradually started picking up the same habits that I had prior to losing the weight. And of course, here it comes creeping back on. And so really the battle began. And I always just felt like it was a matter of willpower and putting the food down, and that I just wasn't good enough. I wasn't strong enough. There was something wrong with me. I knew there was something wrong, but I never could figure out what it was. And most people would just be very dismissive, or they would, I mean, they didn't mind pointing out that there was something wrong, but I never could have anyone that seemed to take a genuine interest that would, kind of put me on a path or give me some direction about how to find out, how to find out exactly what was going on. Well, eventually, I had a nervous breakdown. I was hospitalized. I had gained weight, so many things. I was in a bad relationship. I came through that. I lost my job. I started over, as I did many times in my life. I tried to make good decisions. I was diagnosed as being manic depressive. So I was fighting through taking medicine, which would cause you to gain weight. Antidepressants, a lot of them do. And so there was that battle. There was still the battle. Sorry, my mouth's getting dry. There was still the battle that was raging within me about that I was this terrible person, that all these things had happened to, and they were all my fault. Well, was able to be put on medication for depression, and I continued on. But the mental behavior really got progressively worse because I was acting out. I was acting in inappropriate ways. I was mistreating people, mistreating my family. I had no filter, no limits. I was just totally out of control, as was my eating. I would gain and lose and gain and lose and spend money on all these diet programs. Anything I heard, I was obsessed with trying. Any way that I thought might help me lose weight so that I could lose weight and then go back to eating normally, which is the key to that whole scenario, was what I looked for in life. And unsuccessfully, of course, I came to a point, I guess it was not that long ago, that I had really, well, let me, I don't want to get there yet, because I had finally gotten to a place in my life, my weight was down to what was a normal weight. And I was struggling, a lot of chaos, but I had been properly diagnosed as being bipolar. I was on the correct medication. Life was so much better. I had moved back to my hometown. I was around all my grandchildren. I was retired. Life was good. And then the bottom dropped out. My daughter, who was 40 years old, passed away suddenly, just without any illness or anything. It was just quite sudden. And so my two grandsons, who were 12 and 6 at the time, came to live with me. And the trauma and the shock, I guess, of the lifestyle change and all the different things that we had to go through and deal with, really, I needed an outlet, and my outlet was food. I reached for the food. And I really packed it on. And a lot of people were saying, well, it's not unusual and it's okay. Well, it wasn't okay because I wasn't dealing with what I needed to deal with. Food, as we know, was not the answer. And then I was even more miserable because my size was so big. I was so self-conscious. And then I started being to where physically I couldn't move around. It was weighing on me emotionally. It was weighing on me physically. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything with these children. And I was already, just literally wondering what in the world I was doing at my age, raising two young children. And, being as a single parent and being in the place I was at. And then on top of that, I gained all this weight and my body was just giving out on me. More diet pills, more anything to try to ease the pain and make things okay. I had just purchased, as I'm sure some of you have done, maybe, I just purchased another diet plan, another diet program, and started it and was really hesitant because I thought this thing is crazy, but I'm going to try it anyway. And I was talking to a friend of mine about it at church, and she mentioned OA. And I thought, well, that's something I've never tried. And so she gave me the information for a Zoom meeting, which I really wasn't big on the idea of having to go to a face-to-face because I was very self-conscious. The pandemic, of course, had caused me to gain more weight. And so I was very reluctant to even go around people at all. And so I told her that, okay, well, I can try that. I went to my first meeting, and then, I heard all the, thank you. I heard all the basic facts, and I said, okay, I called her. Will you be my sponsor? Will you send me a list of what I need to eat? And I'm going to do this. Well, she kind of laughed a little bit, and she said, well, there is no list of foods you can eat. There's a little more to it. Boy, was there a little more to it. I soon discovered that this was not going to be as easy as I thought it was. But I knew from the very, very moment that I walked into a room and heard the message that it was so going to be worth it. And it has. When they talk about beyond your wildest dreams, I can just absolutely relate to that. There is nothing that could have happened to me in my life that was more of a direct blessing than this program coming into my life. Nothing. I have embraced it. I have seen changes. I have seen an actual desire to live, an understanding of what is wrong, what's really going on. I had no clue that this was an illness. This was something that you have to treat for what it is. Food is your enemy. You have to fight your enemy. You don't. I can no longer say I'll ever be a normal eater. Never. And that's okay. I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to even try. I want to be the person, my higher power is God, that God always wanted me to be. I always prayed, please help me, please help me, please help me. Well, he handed me OA. He put me in these rooms, and I'm here to stay. I have a level of commitment towards this program that is amazing to me, like I've never had towards anything. I understand it. I practice it. I desire to share and to serve because I believe in it so much. I know that what we are told is true. I know the steps work. I have a much closer relationship to God. I have probably the most powerful thing that a person could have in their life, and that is the support of each of you, this fellowship. I know when I step in the room that I am among friends, I'm among people who are loving and kind and generous and supportive. And what in the world else could you want in your life? And I'd like to conclude by reminding us of the promises, and I'd like to read them. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. And gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, they will always materialize if we work for them. And on these promises I live. And I can tell you with great assurance that they will come true for you if you just work. And it's definitely worth it. Thank you so much for letting me share.